worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Alpha and Omega Ministries presents The Dividing Line radio broadcast. The Apostle Peter commanded all Christians to be ready to give a defense for the hope that is within us, yet to give this answer with gentleness and reverence. Your host is Dr. James White, director of Alpha and Omega Ministries and an elder at the Phoenix Reformed Baptist Church. If you'd like to talk with Dr. White, you can call now by dialing 602-274-1360. That's 602-274-1360. Or if you're out of the Metro Phoenix dialing area, it's 1-888-550-1360. That's 1-888-550-1360. And now, with today's topic, here's James White.
And it's good to be with you on this Saturday afternoon. My name is actually Barry White, sitting in for James White. He's a little-known cousin of mine, actually. You know, I, like many other people in the Valley of the Sun, have succumbed? Or is it succumbed? Well, whatever it is, that stuff got into my lungs, and actually, I think this is a better radio voice than I normally have. I could cut some commercials and stuff like that right now, but then that would make me sound really, really bad when I'm my normal sort of nasally, whiny self. So anyways, I'm going to enlist you guys' help today at 602-274-1360 or 1-888-550-1360. We're going to do something a little bit unusual today. Mr. Pierce is grabbing a pen and a piece of paper. Oh, Mr. Warren is going to be, you're really going to force him to do everything. This should be fun, especially when we hit the commercial segment. anyways, I'm going to invite our callers to get online today, and here's what we're going to do. We'll put you on the air, and we will do a little. There's two ways we could do this. We could do it like we did it last time, which was about a year ago, and I would ask you a question, and if you got the question right, then you got a prize, sort of. Except we ended up being really mushy and stuff, and basically as long as you called, you got something, which was really sort of defeated the whole purpose of everything. But anyways, that's what we'll do. We'll ask a question, but this time we will be firm, sort of. And that means I will ask you a question, and we will talk about the question, and it'll be an apologetics or Bible question or a church history question. But I will ask you a question, and here's how we'll do it. We have copies of Mary and Other Redeemer and Letters to a Mormon Elder, and we will let those be given to folks who call in today. However, this is how we'll do it. This is gonna be really complex, Warren. You ready for this? This is yeah. Did you get through calculus? Because you're gonna need this. What we're going to do is the people who actually get the question correct, they answer correctly, and I mean clearly correctly, we'll put a little star next to the name, and then at the end of the program, we'll make a decision as to which one gave us the best answer, the clearest answer, and they will get a copy of The Potter's Freedom. But only one. I'm looking at Rich. Rich is going, I didn't mention that one. Yes, I understand. But so you call in today, and I will ask you a question. And you may be going, well, I have four copies of Mary and Other Redeemer. Three of them I tried to give away to my Roman Catholic friends and family for Christmas last year. Didn't go over real well, so they're back. So I don't need that one. And I've had Letters to a Mormon Elder since 1991. I don't need that one. Well, maybe you could use a copy of The Potter's Freedom. That's how we'll do it. So why don't you get online now, 1-888-550-1360. If you're outside the Phoenix dialing area, or if you're in the Phoenix dialing area, 602-274-1360 is the number to call there. And this will not only be a means of covering a lot of different interesting topics today, but it'll also be a way of getting Warren to practice answering many calls at the same time, talking to people, writing down addresses, listening to me, typing in the computer, all at the very same time. And I think already I'm having a lot of fun just watching as he's attempting to do this. 602-274-1360. 1-888-550-1360. While we're waiting for everybody to get online, we have we had one line open. Now we've got two lines open, so we already blew somebody right off the board. So you get your chance now because, you know, someone gets in before you, and you never know how it'll work. Just to mention something, some of you know that for the past almost year, I have been working on a project. It has been pretty much all I've been doing the past number of weeks. I've been working on my next book. It is titled "The God Who Justifies." The God Who Justifies is the title of the book, and it has been a challenge. It has been probably the most difficult challenge that I have faced in writing books. But last afternoon, actually around 2:15, as I recall, looking at the clock, around 2:15 in the afternoon, we finished writing. Anyways, "The God Who Justifies." This will be a Bethany House publication, and it'll be fairly close to being right around 400 pages in length, and it'll be the first hardback book that I have put out. And it is simply a biblical presentation of the doctrine of justification. And it is my intention that the book not be specifically apologetic. Hence, I have not tied it. It's not a response to someone else's book. And in fact, in essence, the only people that I cite in the book are Christian scholars. There's a couple times, one or two or three times when I'll quote someone outside of that realm just for purposes of illustration, but it is specifically designed to be a work that is for Christians to explain what the doctrine of justification is, why it is absolutely essential that we understand what the doctrine of justification means, and as a result of that, hopefully encourage Christians to be prepared to present it. The majority of the book is exegesis. It is an exegetical study of Romans 3, 4, 5, Galatians 2 and 3 and 5, a section on Ephesians 2. There's a section on Titus 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And there is a very lengthy section on James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26. And so we've been working on this for a very long time, and so it will eventually appear in print, thankfully. I don't have any idea when that will be. Editing on a book like this is always very difficult, but those of you who have been praying for us on that, I appreciate your prayers for that, and you may pray for the next book project that is already behind because of what I was doing with that book, but we immediately move on to another apologetic subject even after that. So keep praying for us and the opportunities that are being given to us to spread God's word and to speak his truth. We are full up on calls. We are ready to go. Is Mr. Warren, you're ready in there? I see a hand, a fist being held in the air. I think that means you're ready. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to bring the caller on air, and I'm going to say hi, and then I'm going to ask you a question. And then we'll probably have a little discussion about it to see if, you know, if that can be of assistance to folks. But we will mark down the official keeper of the tally is Warren. Now, let me tell you something. There will be no recounts. There will be no Chads. There will be no discussions of pregnant Chads, dimpled Chads, hanging Chads, or anything else. Okay? His word is final. We go by the rule of law on this program. All right? So just in case any of you thought you could steal this particular contest, it's not going to happen. So, all right, here we go. Let's first thing we're doing, would you guys quit playing with the Chads in there? We've been had by a Chad. Okay, all righty. Here we go. We go all the way across the United States to Atlanta, Georgia, and this is Ronnie. Hi, Ronnie.
Hi, James.
How are you doing, sir?
Good. How you doing?
I'm sounding very bass, and I could hit the real low notes now, but other than that, I'm actually feeling a lot better than I sound.
Good.
Though not about certain political issues, but we're going to skip over that today because for some reason the other side can talk about that stuff, but we're not allowed to. Anyways, Ronnie.
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Ronnie, if I were to come up to you and I were to say to you that I believe that Jesus is the first thing God created, he's an archangel. What group would I probably be a member of?
Jehovah's Witnesses.
Jehovah's Witnesses. I need to find a sound. You know, I can't find a sound thing on our thing anymore, like applause or anything like that. But Ronnie is correct. Make a note next to Ronnie's name. Now, do you know specifically who they identify Jesus as?
Michael the Archangel.
Michael the Archangel. And have you ever talked with some witnesses at the door, Ronnie?
Yes. A number of occasions.
Number of occasions, that's right. Well, I did that just about 2 weeks ago. I had some witnesses that came up to my house, amazingly enough, and we had quite some time, and that issue came up with them as well. And interestingly enough, I had to follow them down the street as they were leaving. They for some reason, didn't want to stay and talk anymore with me. But Ronnie got it right, and we have Ronnie's address, and what we'll do is if Ronnie wants either of the two books that I mentioned, in fact, what we'll have to do, Warren, is we'll have to ask them beforehand, or maybe I'll have to put Ronnie back on hold and you ask him if he wants either of those two. And since he got it right, then we'll take a little vote at the end. And if he comes up as the winner at the end, we'll just include the Potter's Freedom along with whatever we send. Okay.
Great.
Sound like a good idea?
Yep.
Hey, thanks for calling today, Ronnie. Thanks
right.
for listening too.
All right.
God bless. All righty, I put Ronnie back on hold. That's how it works. That was easy, wasn't it? I mean, that was simple. It was a simple question. Jehovah's Witnesses believe Jesus is Michael the Archangel, and so it's an apologetic question. And you know that there's only a certain number of groups that we address on a regular basis, but it doesn't have to be necessarily apologetic. It could be a little bit wider. I may ask you, you know, if I were to challenge you on such and such a Christian belief, could you tell me what Bible verses you would go to, or something along those lines? But don't be afraid. There's, you know, no one's. I honestly cannot get the little 360 thingy here to do anything for me. I wouldn't even know how it would do it, to be perfectly honest with you. I don't see anything. Nope. There used to be all sorts of neat sound effects on this thing. You know, stuff like applause and stuff like that. But we can't do that anymore. Anyways, hi Ryan. How are you doing?
Hello.
How you doing, Ryan?
Pretty good.
You're down in Casa Grande.
Yes, sir.
Are you listening to KPXQ?
Yes, sir, I am.
All righty. You listen normally?
No, this is actually my first time listening.
You know, we don't do this very often, so it's very different than what we normally do, but I don't have much of a voice today, so I need to get all the rest of you to help me out today. So, Casa Grande, Ryan, here is the question for you. Since we just talked about the Jehovah's Witnesses with Ronnie, can you tell me, since there's a number of them, so there's a number of right answers here, but the Jehovah's Witnesses have their own translation of the Bible. And can you tell me either A, what they call it, or B, any of the passages in this particular version of the Bible that are well known for being very badly mistranslated, where they've tried to stick something in?
Is it okay if I do both?
You're most welcome to do both.
Okay. To question A, it's New World Translation of Holy Scriptures. And to B, for instance, John 1:1, it translated, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was a God." Also, the divine name for I Am, in the Old Testament, they translate that in the New Testament as it's ego imai in Greek.
Right.
They translate it as I have been. Also, in Colossians 1:15-17, they insert other into brackets
right
when they're talking about how Jesus created all other things, and through him all other things were, you know.
Exactly. So you have studied Jehovah's Witnesses pretty well then.
Yes.
Have you got a background with them, or just...
No, I'm an apologist.
Excellent. Well, are you familiar with our website?
Yes, that's a very good website.
Okay, like excellent. Well, you're exactly right. The New World Translation of the Christian Greek Scriptures is what they have for the New Testament, if you've seen the Kingdom Interlinear Translation as well. And John 1:1, the word was a God. You're correct in their insertion of the word other. Are you aware of the fact that when the New World Translation first came out, they did not have brackets around the word other?
Oh, really?
In Colossians 1, and there was such a hue and cry that they inserted
it. I have a newer... I know that they've had like lots of translations. They've revised it tons.
Right.
And I have the newest one.
Well, are you aware that, for example, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6, up until 1974, the New World Translation said, let all the angels of God worship him. That was about Jesus.
And now
it says, do obeisance.
Obeisance, yeah.
That's right. Do obeisance, too. So that's excellent information to know. Congratulations, Ryan, on knowing that and hopefully... sharing that with the Jehovah's Witnesses who come by, or maybe you can do what I do. I don't know what it is about New World Translations, but whenever I see them, I just immediately zero in on them. And I've seen people visiting our church, for example, who had a New World Translation. And sometimes people will visit churches and they'll pick one of these things up. They don't know that it's a mistranslation.
Yeah.
They don't know that it's not truly a proper translation of the Word of God. And so when you're able to have done your homework and show them those things, that's extremely important. So, Ryan, very well done, and keep up the good work. All righty,
okay.
I'll put you on hold here.
Okay.
Did you catch that, Warren? We've got an excellent answer there, a very full and complete answer on the New World Translation. 602-274-1360. Boy, the voice is getting lower as I speak. 1-888-550-1360. Natasha is in. Now, wait a minute. What is the chances of two people from Casa Grande calling me at the same time? You there?
Yes. How are you, Dr. White?
I'm doing well. We must have a good listening audience in Casa Grande.
Oh, well, everybody that I know of, all my friends here, I always tell about KPXQ because I think this is a great station.
Well, great. Well, now, are you ready for a question?
As ready as I can ever be, yes, sir.
As ready as I can ever be. Well, Natasha, here's a more general question. It's a general Bible question.
Okay.
And that is, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul specifically in his writings, in one of his letters, he writes to a group of churches very, very concerned about the fact that they are being drawn away from the gospel of Christ. What letter did Paul write to a group of churches where he said that he was very concerned they were being drawn away from the gospel of Christ?
I believe it was in Acts.
In Acts.
Where he was talking about that there were people that were going to even rise up from their midst, that you know, that wolves in sheep's clothing, and that even people from their own church would rise up and try to lead them astray.
Okay. Well, you're close, and you're exactly right that was the Apostle Paul who, in Acts chapter 20, in talking to the Ephesian elders, said that he knew that there would be false teachers who would arise from amongst themselves and would draw away many with their false teachings. However, the actual answer to the question would be, the letter that's written to a group of churches is the letter to the churches of Galatia. A lot of people think that Galatians was written. Galatia is actually an area. That is sort of like being writing a letter to the southwestern United States or something like that.
Right.
There wasn't a city called Galatia. There was a region called Galatia. And in Galatians, Paul says, I'm amazed that you're so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for another gospel, which is not really another gospel. And so Galatians is the answer we're looking for, but don't worry. Warren's going to take your name and address, and you can ask him, you can tell him whether you'd like marry another Redeemer or letters to a Mormon elder, and we'll send that out to you. So I appreciate your listen, Natasha.
Thank you.
Thank you. God bless.
Mm-hmm.
The letter to the churches in Galatia, a very, very, very important letter it is really the main reason that we are involved in ministry to Roman Catholics, is because the fact that that letter tells us that we must be prepared to defend the truth of the gospel. That is the only, I should have used this as a question, but now I've already said it, so it's sort of late. That is the only place in the New Testament, and that is in Galatians, where the phrase, the truth of the gospel, appears. It appears twice in that particular letter to the churches of Galatia, multiple churches who were being infected by the teachings of the Judaizers. So keep that one in mind, and let's go all the way out to South Carolina. Is that, am I correct there, Howard?
That's correct.
Rock Hills, South Carolina. You're over toward a little bit closer to the action than we are out here. Have you seen all those lawyers passing through on their way down to Florida?
I'm sorry?
Have you seen all the lawyers passing through on the way down to Florida?
No, I sure have.
You haven't seen them?
I've been trying to battle the Armenians out here, especially Dr. Joe Chambers.
Now, don't get me started on that now. So, Howard, you heard our program last week then.
Actually, not yours. I spoke to you a little bit afterwards.
Right.
You were the
famous first caller that I talked about last week, that you got into attempt to reason with Dr. Chambers on the subject of the Reformed faith, and got just about as far as I did, as I recall.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at least the folks listening got to hear a good word, and that's the that is the important part. Well, you know, in light of of what you just mentioned there, Howard, in regards to your standing for the Reformed faith back there, I'll go that direction with the question. That makes it nice and easy. And let's hope so. Excuse me. This is a little tougher, but I'm you know, you've got two options here. There are two correct answers to this question. And I will not play any of the Jeopardy theme in the background or anything like that, because though I normally would be able to sing that right now, it would come out sounding a little bit like a frog attempting to sing it, and that wouldn't really be a good thing. Here's the question. There are two books in the New Testament that specifically make reference to the fact Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf, that specifically use the term intercession. Two books in the New Testament that says that Jesus Christ intercedes on our behalf. Give me either one or both.
Either one or both.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you start me with a tough one.
Think about what intercession involves.
Hebrews?
There's one of the two. That's correct. Would you like to take a wild guess the second one? Think for just a moment about one of the most famous passages in all the New Testament that contains the line, if God is for us, who can be against us?
That would be in Romans.
Romans chapter 8,
yes.
Where it says, if God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hey, I heard applause in the background. Thank you very much. thank you very much, Rich. He found the applause. Yes, very, very good. And Paul asks those two rhetorical questions in the context of the court of law.
Right.
He says, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the justifying one. He's the one justifying. Who is
right.
he who condemns? Christ Jesus is the one who died, yes, rather, who rose from the dead, and is what? Is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for us. And so those
right.
are the two books of the New Testament that make direct reference to the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So did you catch that, Warren? Howard has the big star next to his name there, and we'll put you on hold so you can talk to Warren. And thank you very much for listening. I really do appreciate the support we're getting today in my weakened state. You all are doing a great job. So keep hanging tough there, Howard.
Yes, sir. You too.
All right. God bless. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir.
602-274-1360, 1-888-550-1360. If you're trying to call in, keep trying, because our lines are absolutely, positively blown out. And I don't know if you're noticing this, Mr. Pierce. What? Hey, I'm already doing that. Uh-oh, Rich has found the sound effects bank. He's got the laughter and the coughing and the applause and everything else all set up. Now, that's not nice. That's going to make me cough the whole way through, okay? So cool the screaming in the background, all right? The reason you can't get through is because we've got a full board of calls. And it's interesting, it's about 3-1 internet local. Right now, it's about 3-1 internet local. But that does not keep folks who are local from calling in, such as Steven. And this says you're in Phoenix,
Steven? I am.
You are?
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's amazing. shocking.
Yeah. Well, the reason I called him is because the first couple questions were pretty easy. Now I'm getting kind of a little tougher there. So I'll take an easy question, I'll take a hard question for the Potter's Freedom.
an easy question for 100, Alex, sure. Please. Yes, indeed. Yeah, right. Okay. Right. Well, you know, actually, I am feeling... the need to be nice and that type of thing today. So, all right, let me just throw a wild one at you. And if you have no idea, I'll come back with one. Okay.
Okay.
This one is so far off. This has something to do with the, allergy medication I'm taking. It's gotta be. Thank you very much, Mr. Pierce. Here's a wild one.
Okay.
And this will really test your trivia knowledge. Do you remember a particular science fiction television series from the late 1970s, 1980s, that was deeply influenced by the LDS Church? All of its writers were Mormons, and therefore Mormon theology appeared throughout the storyline.
Wow.
Don't worry, I'll give you another one if this one you just go, I have the fog.
Yeah, I'm only 28, come on.
I'm only 28, the late 70s and early 80s were a long time ago, man.
It was a science fiction...
science fiction television show.
Wow, deeply influenced by the Mormons.
And a lot of people don't know that it was deeply influenced by the Mormons, and it's still in syndication in some places.
Oh, is that right?
Especially Utah. Don't have any idea? Want to just take a wild guess?
Oh, gosh.
Everybody's, believe me, everybody else in the line's going, oh, man.
Yeah.
You want to know what it is?
Yeah, I want to know.
Battlestar Galactica.
Is that right?
Think about it. Do you remember Battlestar Galactica?
Yeah.
Okay, who was the leader of the humans? His name was Adama.
Okay.
Adama, who was Lauren Green, ruled over the Council of the Twelve.
Mm.
And his son was named Apollo, and in one episode, Apollo was captured by these glowing humanoid creatures who said, as you are, we once were, and as we are, you may become. Should sound a little bit familiar.
Yeah.
And they were looking for the homeworld, and the homeworld was called Kobol, K-O-B-O-L, and if you know LDS scriptures, the planet upon which God allegedly lives is Kolob, K-O-L-O-B. So there's only one letter switched between the two. So now the next time you play Trivial Pursuit,
wow,
you will be fully prepared to deal with that particular issue. But let us go back to an actual biblical or apologetic question.
For the freebie there. Okay.
All right. In what letter of the Apostle Paul are we told that in Jesus Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form?
That'd be Philippians chapter 2.
Oh!
Did I say Philippians chapter 2?
Yes, you did.
I did? Did I really say that? It doesn't sound good. All the fullness of deity dwells.
All the fullness... Stop that, Rich. I'm going to die in here. Philippians 2 is a beautiful passage. It's gorgeous. But that's Colossians 2:9.
Oh, Colossians 2.
Well, okay. Steven, you've been a great sport.
Thanks, Dave.
Do you hear that?
I hear the baby went brain. Yeah, that means get off the phone. Thanks, James.
Thanks, Steven. Bye-bye. We're having way too much fun with this today, folks. I truly appreciate it. We're going to have to do this more often. That's just all there is to it. Even when I'm not sick, maybe when I'm well, I wouldn't be coughing all the way through the sound effects. 602-274-1360, 1-888-550-1360, one line open for you. If you'd like to get involved with our trivia program today, hopefully also giving you some good information as well. We'll be right back. Yes, we're even inserting applause into the commercials now.
Somebody get that boy away from the soundboard.
No, that wasn't Warren. Warren's not doing that. That's Rich playing games in the background. We're doing something completely and totally off the wall today and having a lot of fun in the process. We are taking your phone calls, and we're asking you questions. They can be apologetic or biblical in nature. They can be about the teachings of various groups. They can be about Battlestar Galactica. They can be about a lot of things. And we are giving away copies of Mary, Another Redeemer, and Letters to a Mormon Elder. And then those who get the answer correct on the first shot, Stephen, I'm sorry, but on the first shot, we put a little mark on that. And at the end of the program, we'll decide who gets a free copy of The Potter's Freedom, along with whatever it was they chose when they talked with Warren on the phone. And so, to get as many of you in as we can, let's move along and talk with Tim in Newark, California. Hi, Tim.
Hey, Brother James. How's it going there?
It's going pretty good. Hey, Tim. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing all right.
I figured out who's calling in. How are you feeling today?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
Doing okay?
Sounds like you're a little under the weather, but coming out of it?
I'm doing better than I sound. Let's put it that way. I'm still coughing a lot, but it's just sort of that leftover after those couple days of the bad stuff. So, anyways, Tim, all right. Now, since I know that you're an apologetically minded man, I've got to ask you a biblical question here.
Go easy on me now.
All right, here we go. Oh, stop it, Rich. I don't know if you heard that, but he just loaded up a gun in the background, so you got to be really careful when he does that. What apostle, Tim, what apostle, when describing Scripture and the origin of Scripture, said that Scripture never comes about by the prophet's own interpretation, but instead men spoke from God as they're carried along by the Holy Spirit? Which apostle said that?
Oh, that was Apostle Peter.
That was the Apostle Peter. That is exactly correct. Put a star next to Tim's name. And do you remember, do you happen to know the passage?
Yeah, that's 1 Peter 1:21.
1:21 is 2 Peter 1:21.
That's 2 Peter 1.
That's right. 2 Peter 1:21 is the passage, and it says that it's very important. It is descriptive of the means by which Scripture came to us, that men, the Scripture does not have its origin or source in the will of man, but instead men spoke from God as they were literally carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that is a very important passage. Anyone involved with apologetics knows that that's one you need to know to be able to explain why we believe that Scripture is the very Word of God and that it is a safe guide to us as to what we are to believe. So, Brother Tim, God bless you. Thanks for calling in, and I'll put you on hold so you can talk with Warren. All righty?
All righty.
All righty. Thanks for calling today. 602-274-1360, 1-888-550-1360. If you're trying to get in, realize it'll take Warren just a few moments to talk with Tim, write down the relevant information, and then there'll be a line that'll be freeing up after that. Let's go to line three and talk with Jason in Duncan, Oklahoma. How you doing, Jason?
I'm doing fine.
Well, are you ready for this?
Well, I don't know. You have another Mormon science fiction question?
Well, you know, that's really about the only, trivia question I have on that. Were you aware of that, by the way?
Yes.
You were? See, you would have gotten that. We would have put a big old star right next to your name. You would have been ready.
Yeah, but I didn't get that one.
You didn't?
Let's see what happens.
Oh, all righty. Here we go. All righty. What prophet of the Old Testament We're going Old Testament here because we've been hitting the New Testament for a while. But what prophet of the Old Testament was privileged to record these words, "Before me there was no God formed, and there will be none after me"?
What that would be the prophet Isaiah.
And you know the reference?
That is chapter 40. Well, I don't know. There's several passages like that in the 40s.
Right. That's 43:10.
Okay.
That's exactly correct. Isaiah 43:10. Jason is correct. And in fact, what I like to tell folks is if they are ever in a situation where they need to defend the biblical truth of monotheism, if they start in Isaiah chapter 40 and go through Isaiah chapter 48, and just you could do this even before, you could do this today. You could simply read through that section of Scripture and mark the passages because it's repeated over and over again in 43:10, 44:6, 44:8, 45:4 and 5, all through that section of Scripture. You will find passage after passage where God says, "I am the only true God, there is none else besides me," etc., etc., etc. So if you have a Bible, for example, that you carry with you regularly, I would suggest having them ready. So if you maybe you're riding a bus and two Mormon missionaries come on board or something like that, you're ready to go and you can share those truths with them. So, Jason, well done, sir. We will put you on hold so you can talk to Warren.
Hope you're feeling better.
Well, I thank you very much for that. And it is always a reminder of the frailty of these bodies and the fact that we need to be very thankful for all the good days we have. And thank you for calling in, Jason.
Thank you.
Put you on hold, let you talk with the man behind the... I've never seen him moving so fast in my life. It's so much fun to watch Warren, who is learning to run the board and do everything, and he's doing a good job today. We're keeping him busy, though. In fact, I'm catching up with him. He hasn't gotten everybody screened yet. So, all right, let's go out to Surprise, Arizona. And Kevin, you know, Kevin, when I was a big bike rider, and I sort of stopped riding in 98, and I still ride once in a while now. But when I was a big bike rider, one of my rides would take me out Dunlap out to about 107th or so, and I'd take up the Grand and Grand out through Surprise and stuff like that out there. So, I know where you're out there.
Pretty familiar. Can you hear me?
I can hear you fine.
Okay, perfect.
All righty. So now let me ask you, Kevin. I should have asked other folks this. Do you regularly listen to the program, or is this first time you run into us, or what?
No, I've heard you on radio before.
All righty, excellent. Now here is this is a tricky one. Now, okay, you ready?
Yeah.
All righty. In the Roman Catholic faith, what is the specific name for this thing? And the thing is this, it is a transfer of merit from the treasury of merit to a particular individual. You get these things by going on a pilgrimage on certain days, and here's the big hint, back at the time of the Reformation, you could buy them.
That would be an indulgence?
An indulgence, yes indeedy. There's the applause. And you know, you didn't get that one right last time, Rich. You missed the applause for our last caller. I felt sorry for him. An indulgence is a... Now, you can't buy indulgences anymore. They got rid of that practice because there are a lot of people who did object to it. However, you may not be aware of the fact, Kevin, that Pope John Paul II announced a number of plenary indulgences in celebration of the year 2000. And there are more sections in the new Universal Catechism of the Catholic Church on the subject of indulgences than there are on justification.
I didn't know that.
You didn't know that, but now you do. And so you are exactly correct, and so make sure that Mr. Warren knows that Kevin was correct. Kevin, thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in today.
Thank you.
God bless. Bye-bye. Bye. I put you on hold so you can talk with Warren, and we actually have a line open. Yes, unless the number of calls has burned the light out on line number 3, there is a line open at 602-274-1360 or 1-888-550-1360, one of the two. And we're waiting for your phone calls now, and what we're doing today is we're going to ask you a question. It can be on the subject of Christian apologetics. It can be on the subject of the Bible, where to find something in the Bible, how you would give an answer to someone in regards to a question, whatever it might be. And we'd like to get you involved. We have plenty of time before the end of the program. We still have room for you. If you're outside the Phoenix dialing area, 888-550-1360, 602-274-1360. And basically, if you call in, you get a free copy of Mary, Another Redeemer, or Letters to a Mormon Elder. And if you get the question right, and at the end of the program, we choose, we select you as having done the best job there in giving that answer, then we will include, when we send you whichever one you had requested before, we will also send along to you a copy of The Potter's Freedom. And so we'd like to get you involved. There's now two lines open, folks. 1-888-550-1360, 602-274-1360. Let's go to Eric in Phoenix. Hi, Eric.
Hello.
How's it going, man?
Pretty good.
You've listened to us before?
Yes, probably a little over a year, and it's been a great help in my growth.
Well, great. Super. So you're familiar with the website, possibly?
Oh, yes.
So I can't use anything off there. All righty. Well, I guess I could ask you what guy I was talking about last week, or I could ask you who the caller was last week that we had a long discussion with on Roman Catholicism, but that probably wouldn't be fair either. But have you ever seen, remember Live with Regis and Kathy Lee and how they'd have that constant contest where you had to have watched the day before? And they'd always call these people and send in postcards, and always they'd hear the person say, I had to go to the doctor yesterday. I didn't get to watch that. And then they wouldn't win the prize. It was sort of a, yeah, sort of a bummer. So we won't do that to you.
Okay.
So in case you didn't get a chance to listen last week or something like that. It's that would be my luck. Whenever I'd get on one of those things, that's what happened to me.
And that's what happened.
Yeah, that's it. And it was a great show last week. We had a 23-minute phone call at the end of the program just on pretty much every topic on Roman Catholicism there was. And
wow.
It was if you got access to the internet, I would strongly recommend catching the archived version on straightgate.com and listening to the last section of the program, because it was a very, very, very interesting program.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I'll do that.
All right, Eric, here's the question.
Okay.
All right. If you encountered a person, let's say a coworker, a family member, you're on a bus, you're sitting at the library, whatever, you're talking with someone, and they say to you, well, I believe that Jesus is both the Father and the Son, that you need to be baptized in Jesus' name only, and I believe you need to speak in tongues to receive justification. What kind of a religious group do you think that person would be a member of?
I would say it would be a Oneness Pentecostal.
Yes, that's exactly right. Ding, 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 ding. What in the world is... Oh, man. You know, I haven't seen you grin like this, Rich, since I can't remember the last time. He's having so much fun with all of the sound effects here. I think is that a strike? Is that what that's called, strike? Eric got a strike. He bowled a strike. That's exactly right. Now, just for extra credit here, Eric, what is the largest Oneness Pentecostal denomination? Do you know what its name is?
United Pentecostal Church.
That's exactly right. United Pentecostal Church International is its official name now. And they had a big old split back in the 1990s. And a lot of the people that you're starting to see make inroads directly into evangelical circles who still deny the Trinity and believe those things came out of the churches that split from the UPC in the mid-1990s, for example, T.D. Jakes, and people like that who are still Oneness, a lot of these churches have become very, very popular, are not a part of the UPCI, because the UPCI is still very, very strict, very much focused upon what we would call legalism, in essence. And
and your book on the Trinity has been a great, great tool for me in regard.
Well, I appreciate the fact you had a chance to read it, and a lot of folks have found it to be very helpful, because I really did want people to do what I said at the beginning of the book, and that is to love the Trinity, and you can't love something you don't understand. So Got to explain it so folks can understand it and then can explain it to other folks. So that's why we write the books that we do. Eric, I'm going to put you on hold. You can talk with Warren, and we'll go from there. All right?
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in today.
All right.
602-274-1360. Now, folks, I don't want to run out of folks. I mean, I'm having too much fun. We're having too much fun doing this. So you need to pick up the phone, and if you're outside the Phoenix dialing area, some of you crusty old folks in Prosopology on our chat channel need to pick up the phone and dial 1-888-550-1360 and get yourself online because if you don't, what in the world was that? That was a whip? Buddy, you're going to have to turn that up about 4,000 times louder than that for that to do. I mean, a whip really needs to sound like a whip. Okay. Okay. It's better than nothing. 1-888-550-1360 and 602-274-1360 are the numbers. You get online, we will ask you a question. And if you, even if you don't, I mean, think about it. We're just giving these things away free, basically, is what we're doing. But if you're right in answering the question, then you also get an opportunity being the one that receives a free copy of The Potter's Freedom along with. So that's number 888-550-1360, 602-274-1360. Should I get you guys involved with this too and ask you guys questions? Warren's blushing and Rich is going, hey, I'm playing with my sound effects. Don't bother me. I'm having fun with my sound effects. I'm proving that I can do this. Let's talk with Andrew in Chandler. Hi, Andrew.
How you doing, Dr. White?
Well, I've sounded better. Actually, I think some people think that I probably sound better now than I normally do, but that's neither here nor there. You ready for this?
Yeah, you got any softballs in there for me?
You want me to ask you to parse a Hebrew verb, right? We could do that. And, I should say, if you can parse this Hebrew verb, we'll send you a copy of every tape we own. And at that point, Rich would absolutely probably fire me because that would be, I don't know, how many tapes do we have anymore, Rich? Do you have any idea? Hundreds? Who knows? I don't know. Anyways, you want a softball, huh, Andrew?
Yeah, please.
Well, and you're out in Chandler.
Yep.
You know what you got a lot of out in Chandler? Well, who do you see driving along the side of the road all the time on bicycles out there?
Mormon.
Yeah. Well, don't worry. That's not the question. I mean, there's softballs and then there's beach balls. Okay.
Right.
You know, there's a difference between the two. All right. Here you go. All right. Here and Andrew, this is sort of softballish. All right. But you do have a lot of Mormons out where you live, and Mormons don't use the Bible. They also use the Book of Mormon. You were aware of that, right?
Yeah.
All right. They also have two other books of Scripture. Name me either one of the other two books of LDS Scripture. They have four standard works, the Bible, the Book of Mormon, and they have two more. Name me either one.
Oh, it's escaping me right now,
Doctor. any guess at all? In other words, I used the one you would have known, didn't I?
Yes, that was.
Oh, man, I'm a meanie. I was really trying to be nice. Oh, ouch. Thanks a lot, Rich. That made Andrew feel really good. It'll be scarred for life after that one. Well, you want me to tell you? Are you going to take one wild guess out there?
Give me one of them.
One of them's called The Pearl of Great Price. And so the other one is...
No, I don't have to.
No, it's called the Doctrine and Covenants. Doctrine and Covenants, you may have noticed, you'll sometimes see Mormons carrying what looks like either a super thick scriptures, or they'll be carrying two volumes. And normally what you've got there is their Bible will be bound together with a Bible dictionary and a topical guide. And then the other volume is the Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants, Pearl of Great Price, and they'll refer to it as their triple. And the Doctrine and Covenants is the one that contains the majority of Mormon doctrine, the vast majority of Mormon doctrine about, God becoming, or men becoming gods and stuff like that. You won't find that in the Book of Mormon. That's in the Doctrine and Covenants and in the Pearl of Great Price. So,
well, if you can see me right now, I'm kicking myself.
You're kicking yourself. Well, that's all right. I'm going to put you on hold so you can talk to Warren, and I appreciate you calling in,
all
Andrew.
Right,
God bless. 602-274-1360. Everybody got in. We've got a car phone, and I know what that's all about because I have one of those too. Hi, Rex. You're on a car phone?
Yes.
All right. Now, please do us a favor and drive carefully, okay?
We're driving carefully right now.
All righty. I have a manual transmission, and so when my phone goes off, it's almost you need to, you know, pull off the road and forget about it. It's the only way to do it. All righty, Rex. Now, you're not one of those folks looking for a softball, too, are you?
Actually, not looking for a softball. Interested in what you guys are talking about today.
All righty. All right. Well, here, Rex, you're in Phoenix. Okay. All righty. So we will... Let's see, Phoenix. All right, here we go. This is a pretty easy one. This is a pretty easy one. There is only one gospel. So this, you got a 25% shot at this one. There is only one gospel in which the Lord Jesus said to the Jews before Abraham was, "I am." Which of the gospels did Jesus say that in?
The gospel.
You got a 25% chance, even if you guess. In which of the four Gospels did Jesus say, "Before Abraham was, I am"?
You got me on that one.
Got you on that one.
Even.
John chapter 8, verse 58, Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am. And one of the earlier callers mentioned that the Jehovah's Witnesses mistranslate that as "I have been." So keep that.
I wouldn't have that book myself, actually.
John chapter 8, verse 58. Rex, hold on a second. Let me let you talk to Warren. And thanks for calling in. Drive carefully out there, folks, when you call in on the car phone. We only have, Rich, we got about, 4 minutes left? Looking at about 4 minutes left. All righty. Oh, my goodness. We've got to go all the way out to Greg in Alberta, Canada.
Hi, how you doing?
How you doing, Greg?
Good.
I bet you're listening on the internet, huh?
I'm sitting here in my pottery studio.
In your pottery studio?
Listening on the internet.
And you're free to do with your clay whatever you wish, aren't you?
I absolutely am.
That is the potter's freedom. I like that.
Yeah.
In fact, okay, you want... This isn't a softball, Greg.
Okay.
This is a beach ball.
Uh-oh.
All right. Now, we know that the Bible does use the terminology of the potter, doesn't it?
Yes.
Where in the Old Testament specifically do you have the analogy of the potter and the clay?
It's in Jeremiah.
There you go. There's an easy one. I figured if you're in a pottery studio, you have undoubtedly read through the issue in Jeremiah.
I talks
about
have.
That's right. So that was too easy, wasn't it? You want a harder one?
Sure.
Oh, he does. All right. The man steps up to the plate, and he is ready to take a swing at it. All right. Here we go. One of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ is that he is the Alpha and the Omega. But where in the Bible are we told that Jesus is called the Alpha and the Omega?
In the Book of Revelation.
The Book of Revelation.
Chapter
1
and chapter 21, is it?
22:13, actually.
22?
That's exactly right. Man, I'll tell you, I can't get anything past Greg today. So we're going to have to make sure that Greg has...
I need that book. You know, I tried to get that Potter's Freedom, and I couldn't get it up here. Maybe it was not out yet, but...
Well, we certainly... Now, do you have access to the internet? You're listening on the internet, right?
Yes.
Well,
I don't have a credit card.
Well, you know, you can still get it from us by sending a check, and we'll send it to you as soon as it comes out. But Calvary Press is doing everything they can to get them out there, and they're doing a pretty good job of it, actually. So you can either get it through that way, or maybe we'll just have to, you know, you did get two questions right. We may just have to, you know, bump you up there toward the top. So,
that'd be great.
All righty, Greg, let me put you on hold so you can talk to Warren.
Thanks.
And we are just about out of time. Let me sneak Johnny in real quick. Hi, Johnny.
How you doing, James?
I'm doing all right, Johnny. Let me ask you a question. What New Testament writer wrote both a gospel and a historical book in the New Testament?
Luke.
Luke, that's right, Johnny. You are a monster. I'm going to put you back on hold so you can talk to Warren, and you got it right, and you just got in under the line. Folks, thank you so much. I take it as a personal favor that you all helped me out today in my weakness, and we had a lot of fun in the process and actually covered a lot of ground, too. I hope you picked up some information you needed. And you know what? When we get off the air here, I'll look into what Warren's got. And maybe we can sneak a second Potter's Freedom in there, because I know our caller who gave us all the stuff on the NWT, that he'd be my vote, along with Greg maybe there in Alberta. And we'll try to get those out to you. Thanks a lot, folks, for listening, letting us know you're out there. Very, very encouraging. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you again next week on The Dividing Line.
The Dividing Line has been brought to you by Alpha and Omega Ministries. If you'd like to contact us, call us at 602-973-4602 or write us at P.O. Box 37106, Phoenix, Arizona 85069. You can also find us on the World Wide Web at aomin.org. That's aomin.org, where you'll find a complete listing of James White's books, tapes, debates, and tracts. Join us again next Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for The Dividing Line.